Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtzcast. Cole Pettum here as always. And of course, this is another opposition preview. Of course, the games are coming very thick and fast during this festive period. It's crazy to say that Christmas is only a matter of, I think, 10 or 11 days away at time of recording. It just doesn't feel like it should be that time with how the year's been going with the virus and the pandemic and all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, like I said before, it's another opposition preview because we play Burnley at Villa Park on Thursday. I believe that's a 6 p.m. kickoff time in the UK, if Google told me correctly. And of course, it's not just me here to chat about Burnley, because to be honest, I can't comment that much on Burnley. So of course, we have Dave Roberts from the No Nay Never podcast. He's also a Burnley statistorian. Try saying that five times fast. But nonetheless, Dave, how are you doing?
Hi, Cole. I'm fine. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining me, of course. So without further ado, let's get into the Burnley perspective, shall we? So how have you found your season so far?
It's been a really tough start for us to begin with. I think there was, obviously, it's been an odd season, hasn't it, with the delay to the end of last season, the games being played behind closed doors. And Burnley did really well during that time. We had a heavy defeat against Manchester City, which is nothing unusual. And then after that, we went on a really good run. Despite injuries, all sorts of problems, we had a really good end to last season. And then coming into this season, it was a little bit odd. We had a much shorter pre-season than normal. So that was different for the players and for the squad, I guess. And then coming into this season, very start, we had difficulties. We only picked up 1 point in our first six games. So it was a really, really difficult start for Burnley this season, in contrast to what happened to Aston Villa.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've said this a million times. we stayed up by the absolute minimalist amount, and it's just kind of grown from there. And it's kind of crazy in some ways. I feel like I've said this a million times, but a lot of us were not predicting this. And I think right now, a lot of people are just kind of assessing and trying to get expectations in order, because shouts at Europa League are a little bit too early at this stage. But nonetheless, it's great to have some success, especially after last season. But back to the Burnley perspective, Dave, if I'm correct as well, weren't you guys going through some kind of controversial takeover talks as well too?
That's still in progress. Yeah, there's whispers that might even happen this side of Christmas. Certainly, I think the intention is that may well be completed before the new year. The talk is that it's an American company who are the leaders in that. There were two consortiums involved, and there's talk of that being completed sooner rather than later. So, I think we'll probably hear something on that in the next week or two, perhaps. But it's still not been resolved yet, but it's imminent.
Would that be, I know nothing about your current ownership, but would that be the first non-British ownership that you guys would ever have had?
Yeah, it's always been local owners going way back. The chairman has always been effectively a local businessman. We had very famously Bob Lord, who was chairman of Burnley for a lot of years, from I think the mid-1950s right through until, well, shortly before he died at the start of the 1980s. And then since then, the guys who've taken over, they've always been local businessmen. So a change, it would be a big change if another company got involved, and there was obviously external foreign ownership, because it's always been a locally owned club in the past.
Oh, for sure. So I guess from your standpoint, and I'm just kind of asking because I'm interested, and I'm sure some Villa fans will be interested well in terms of how the business side and ownership works too. Is that kind of a worry for the Burnley fan base? Are they kind of worried that they'll lose some of that local touch? And I guess with a two-parter question that I might as well throw in as well is, How do you think that affects the Sean Dyche?
I think it's always a concern. I think when you've been in that position, there's concern of that, because you see, it can go either way. There's clubs who've had new owners come in and they've done really well for the club. They've sort of taken on the club's ideals and run with it and done really well. And then you've had the flip side of the coin. You've had others where, you know, it's been a real, real disaster. So I think the worry is that you're going to end up with one of the charlatans rather than one of the good guys. But I think there is a realisation deep down from Burnley fans that we need some sort of additional investment, wherever that comes from, to try and take a leap forward. Because the current ownership, you know, yes, they may well be millionaires, but they're not multi-millionaires, which is what the majority of the owners in the Premier League are these days. So if you're wanting to keep up with the rest, you're going to have to get some additional investment coming in. I think from Sean Dyche's point of view, from the potential it gives him to bring new players in, then that can only be a good thing. But again, provide it's done in a responsible way. And also the concern as well is that it does take account of the fan base, because we don't want owners coming in and just ignoring, you know, 100 odd years of local ownership and then destroying that. So I think the one thing at the back of the mind is that the current chairman, although he has had some criticism, has always had the club's best interests at heart, even though he hasn't necessarily had the deep enough pockets to take things forward. So there will be a lot of scrutiny have gone into that process, and I guess there'll be when any announcement is finally made, I guess there'll be sort of a statement, a very detailed statement, I would imagine, from both sides, trying to reassure fans about the what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I mean, speaking from a club that's had, and I'm not generalizing this to American ownership or foreign ownership, but we've had an American owner in the past, being Randy Lerner. And of course, yeah, he took over during a spot of bother, of course, and it was kind of on the up and up at the start. And then, of course, to be honest, I'm not too sure if whether it was a lack of interest or whatever it may be that kind of was the final straw with that. But evidently, the investment and the interest seemed to kind of wane. And of course, the results, in closer and closer we got to relegation, that seemed to be kind of coinciding with one another. And we saw the final results, and unfortunately, we went down. We go to another former owner, if I can get my words out today, in Tony Jaa. And of course, we all saw how that went, and that almost basically put us into administration. And thank God for owners that we have now. They've been an absolute blessing and have kind of brought the club back to I wouldn't say the heights, but back to more of the fans and more of to the appeal of the locals. And yeah, that is always a thing that I think a lot of people look at and think, well, if you lose your roots, then what kind of connection do you have with the club and the fans? And of course, that's the most important connection after all, especially when you're coming from clubs like Burnley, where you're so deep rooted in that and you've known no difference. So exactly, that's always... Yeah. Yeah, it's always important. But nonetheless, let's move on to the next thing. And of course, that's your turnaround in form, like you mentioned at the very start. I think that's, especially after the Arsenal result, of course, that being yesterday at time of recording, it's Monday. A massive 1-0 win puts you guys just above the relegation zone. So I think that's, what, one loss in your last five or six, if I'm thinking correctly?
Yeah, we've had 8 points in 5 games, so 2 wins, 2 draws, and another defeat against Manchester City in there, and that's after picking 1 point up in the first 6 games. So it's certainly been a big turnaround in the last 5.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that speaks to what we were speaking about briefly before starting the recording, was your injury list. I think it was, obviously, of course, that coincides with a lack of preseason for a lot of clubs, and a lot of clubs and players didn't really know what they would stand, if they're going to move, stay, what's going to go on with in terms of how long their injury may or may not be. I think a lot of people are wondering with this virus, what's really going to go on in terms of next season. I mean, nothing can really be short of potentially being called off again. We never know how badly it could get again. So that's never out of this kind of the realm of possibilities. But nonetheless, with Burnley and your injuries, I guess, where does that leave you guys now? Of course, kind of after this 1-0 win, where do you feel that you can kind of build upon for the rest of the season?
I think, yeah, it's a case of trying to get our heads above water to some extent, because we had such a poor start, just that 1 point from six games. So to actually get ourselves out of that bottom three now just gives us a fighting chance to get a little bit of momentum going forward. I think defensively is something where the partnership we've got now, Ben Mee coming back in, he's been in for the last five games. He missed the first six. That's been a key, I think. And that partnership with James Tarkowski, with Nick Pope in goal behind them, that sort of three is really pivotal to Burnley, and certainly has been in the past and seems to be now. So if we can build from that strong base, try and keep clean sheets, which we have been doing more or less, other than the blip against Manchester City, then that does give us a chance, even if we're not firing on all cylinders up front, which we haven't been. We've not scored very many goals this season. But it does give us a chance to sort of push on and try and improve, because it was a very, very disappointing start, which we have sort of just about slightly recovered from now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with Sean Dyche too. A lot of people look at, you know what you're going to get with him. You know that you guys are going to be very compact. You guys have a smaller squad, but in some aspects, to be fair, like, it works for you guys very well. The tighter, usually the smaller the team, the tighter the unit. So it should be. Of course, that doesn't always work out in terms of morale and all that kind of stuff, but nonetheless, it does seem to work with you guys. It's almost like an us against the world kind of mentality in some ways, and that does work very well. Of course, you guys have two former villains in Matthew Loughton and, of course, Westwood as well. So with that kind of mindset, we'll move on to the game itself. How are you feeling heading into this one? Because, I mean, for us, coming out of an international break, it's been a trend this season. We start really slow, we lose two, we win one, and that's actually been true throughout, I think, the two international breaks we've had so far, and Wolves being our latest result and our latest win. That's a massive morale, probably, for, I guess, a regional standpoint, and just kind of measuring where we are. So I guess from your standpoint, how are you feeling?
I think it'll be a tough game. We know that all away games are tough games. It was really good to go to Arsenal on Sunday and get a win there. We know Villa's going to be a tough game. It was a tough game last season, looking back at the results, because we're doing a preview show ourselves, I think you're contributing to. We've got some of the stats on there and looking at last season's game, and we know that it finished 2-2, the game at Villa. Villa went ahead twice and Burnley came back from behind twice in that game to grab a point. So it's going to be toughy again. We know that Villa have consistency. I mean, looking down in terms of your players, you seem to have a real consistent core in terms of players. The seven players who've played every minute of every Premier League game this season, and two others who've played 10 games and just come off substitutes. But I think I'm right in saying that Douglas Luiz and Matthew Cash, they're both unavailable for Thursday. Correct. For suspensions, one on for a red card and one for five yellows. So that might just upset things a little bit and might be something that Burnley can take advantage of.
Yeah, and actually, that's great. You basically just did partially of my job, because I had about five stats and notes, and you knocked them all out of the park. So that that makes my job a little bit easier in terms of what I was about to say. But yeah, last season, a 2-2 result at Villa Park. It kind of symbolizes where we are at this season. I mean, last season, and I've said this almost in every preview, we just couldn't beat a traditional top six side, I should say in quotes, because of course we know how Arsenal are doing this season. Of course, everything's subject to change, but yeah, we couldn't do that until we beat them when it really mattered. And this season, it seems like we can just beat all the top dogs, or I guess I should say quote unquote top dogs. And we like to struggle against the likes of Brighton. And of course, I guess you can't really put Southampton in that right now, because they're flying, and West Ham seem to be another outlier as well. But we seem to, I guess, long story short, we seem to struggle against the teams that will sit back a bit against us. Maybe it gives us a little bit too much time on the ball to think about things, and we do tend to struggle. And I mean, this is kind of thinking from last year, to break teams down who do like to absorb pressure. And we saw that in the Brighton game, where our line was, especially the defensive line, was too deep in the Brighton zone, and offensively we just got beat on the counter way too often. And I guess from a Burnley perspective, is that something you guys can use? I mean, I know you guys don't have, I guess, the greatest depth in terms of pace and prowess and when you're going kind of on the counter, but is that something you could look at and say, hey, we can take advantage of that?
I think so, definitely. I mean, it does tend to be the way that Burnley play, particularly away from home. It'll be a case of trying to calm things down, trying not to concede early, and trying to frustrate teams as well. And it does it does work. It does work sometimes. And I could take your point entirely. I think maybe Villa are more suited to a much more open game. They can play more on the break, whereas if Burnley sit back a little bit more and allow a little bit of pressure, but don't allow them to get in behind, then that's to Burnley's advantage. And I think Villa might get a little bit frustrated by that on Thursday, possibly.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'm thinking of last season especially, somehow if one of your players goes off, we really struggle against 10 men, which makes absolutely no sense. I think that gives us even more time to think about it. And I mean, you could go all the way back to the very first game this season when that's essentially how we got our first win against Sheffield United. I mean, they're a whole other kind of story in themselves with the fall from grace from last season, but nonetheless, it seems to be something that we've struggled against quite a bit. But I guess looking back at Burnley, is there any one or two, I wouldn't say negatives, but things that you worry about and look and think and kind of see Villa maybe exploiting?
Well, I think if Villa can score first, that's a big advantage, because I think Burnley struggle when the opposition score trying to come from behind. There's not many instances of us conceding the first goal then coming from behind to win, although we have done it a few times in Premier League history. And I think it's just a case of we do struggle for goals full stop. So if we are conceding, it's difficult to then come back and score a couple, although we did do that last season to good effect to get the point down at Villa Park. That was a Saturday tea time kickoff here, UK time. And it was one of those games where it was a really good point for Burnley, and we did better than doing what we don't always do, is conceding and coming back to at least get a point out of the game. So I think if Villa score early, that's going to be difficult for Burnley. But if Burnley can frustrate Villa, then we've got every chance of pushing on. I think our strikers have struggled. Chris Wood has scored a couple of goals this season, but he's not been quite as prolific as he was during last season. But he does tend to go on these runs where he gets on a purple patch. So if he does score, he'll score for a few games. So we'll be hoping that can come to fruition and he can start scoring a few goals over this. As you say, it's going to be a busy period over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I guess with that busy period, Dave, are you expecting any rotation with this in mind? I mean, you guys play as well on the weekend as us. I think we play on Sunday. I'm pretty sure maybe you guys do as well. I haven't really looked at the schedule, to be honest, for the match week after this one, but do you expect any rotation?
I don't think too much, no. I think Sean Dyche likes to stick with his team, doesn't like to rotate things too much. We saw that even with the end of last season where we were playing games sort of midweek and weekend, midweek, weekend, without too many gaps. They were coming thick and fast. And we had even more injury problems then. And it was a case of more often than not, where possible, he'd kick the same side. He wasn't rotating. Plus, we're not using the substitutes either. I mean, there's been a lot of calls for increasing the subs from 3 to 5, which obviously there were more substitutes available in the back end of last season. There aren't now. But even throughout that period, when we're allowed to use 5 substitutes, we never use more than 2. So I think Sean Dyche prefers to keep it with a core team. Doesn't want to make too many changes, doesn't want to rock the boat. The players know their roles, and if he can, he'll pick the same side. Now, I think, all being well, provided we haven't had any niggles or knocks from Sunday, it will probably be the same 11 who play on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, like you said before, it's probably going to be the same for us. I mean, we have 2 forced changes, of course, that being Matty Cash and Douglas Luiz, as you previously mentioned, will be missing. I mean, kind of in some odd way, it's almost a blessing for us because one, it kind of brings Matty Cash's card count. I think they drops back down to 0. I think pretty sure that's how it should work anyways. And that should be a massive boost for us in terms of flexibility. I mean, heck, we have 2 capable right backs in El Mohamedy, and maybe Freddie Gilbert comes from the darkness as well. So that'll be interesting. And I think the other one a lot of people are looking at is Marvelous Nakamba, the defensive midfielder who I think came on for all of 10 seconds on Saturday. But nonetheless, would you be so kind to give me your score prediction?
I'm going to go reasonably confident, bearing in mind we got a good result against Arsenal. I'm going to go for another draw. I'll go for a score draw, and I think it'll be 1-1.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, Villa haven't drawn yet. So with that being said, I'm very much expecting that to happen this month, especially during the festive period. So, you know what? I'm going to go 1-1. I think it's a fair result. I think bigger fish are to fry, and I think it's going to be one of those games where there's a game on the weekend coming up within a matter of a few days. So I think that's going to be in mind as well. You might see some early substitutions from both sides to keep things fresh. So you never know what could happen. Maybe it'll be an absolute barn burner. You never know. Hopefully it'll be entertaining, but nonetheless, I'll go for a 1-1 draw. But yeah, I guess that's about it. So Dave, if you'd be so kind, feel free to plug anything you'd like to at this time.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier that I contribute for the No Nay Never podcast. We're on Twitter at No Nay Never. If you want to catch up with us, we do previews for every Premier League game. We have done for the last couple of seasons, as well as regular podcasts as well. And I'm on Twitter myself. I'm on DLRBRTS, or if you search for Burnley Stats. I like to have a mix of stat stuff, but also a historical perspective. So looking back at on this day and looking back at the history of the club as well. So it's a real old mix in there.
Brilliant. Yeah, of course, we follow each other. I always love reading your stuff, and it's always good to see different perspectives from different clubs. And to be honest, dealing with you a lot has always been lovely and very easy and very enjoyable. So, of course, thanks for coming on. And of course, we'll look for the reverse fixture to get in touch again. But to, of course, the Villa fans listening, thank you for listening. Of course, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa. Tweet us at 7500 Holt. If you want to email the podcast, it's holtcast@gmail.com. We'll leave it there. Hopefully a positive result come Thursday, but nonetheless, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.